We are back with you here on the Grant Napier Show. Big day in Major League Baseball. The Giants get two arms. The Dodgers get Rich Hill and Josh Reddick from the A's. The Nationals get the closer that they were looking for in Melanson. The Cubs continue to add on to their bullpen. A lot of interesting moves made in Major League Baseball today. We got football that we're going to talk about as well. With the 49ers and Raiders going at training camp, the question for San Francisco, who's going to be the number one quarterback? You know, I got to believe that it is Blaine Gabbert. And if you're looking at the Raiders, you know, everyone's talking them up. Everybody likes that they're an up-and-coming team. One thing that Jack Del Rio, he's very guarded about that when he's asked. He's saying, wait a minute now. You know, let's not get carried away here. And I think that's the right approach. Let's get to Jerry in Sacramento. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking the call. Want to talk a little Giants and Dodgers. And unfortunately, you know, I'm a Dodger fan, and I still think the Giants are just the class of the division. Just those rings give them the edge without a doubt. And, you know, I like seeing the Dodgers looking like they're going to get rid of Flynn because they got the guy Reddick from the A's.
Yep.
I like that a lot. You know, with their star pitcher being dead, I don't see how the Giants don't do it because Bumgarner, Bochy, and Posey are nails.
I agree with you. I mean, without Clayton Kershaw, I don't think the Dodgers are a legitimate threat.
Thanks, Graham.
All right, thank you. Always great to have on Mr. Ian Eagle from CBS Sports. How are you, sir?
It must be that time of year because
yes.
I just have that vibe, that feeling in the air. You and I are speaking because that means the NFL is right around the corner.
That's right. And I want to share this story. Ian Eagle's statistician that he travels, and I don't know why you do this, but travels all over the country, whether it's the NFL on Sunday or Ian's work on Thursday or college basketball on Saturdays during the year. Believe it or not, was coming out here to go to the Sacramento Rivercats AAA game tomorrow, the AAA franchise of the Giants, noon game. All right. I was all set to pick him up and take him to the game and hang out with him.
Yep.
So, you know, in Jim Stamos fashion, I just got a 5-page email telling me how he was on the airplane. It was 45 minutes delayed. Then when it backed up out of the gate, it was number 15 in line. Then it was, you know, and anyway, to make a long story short, he's missed his connection. And there's no way for him to get here in time for the game. So I once again am saved by air traffic control and the backup in the East Coast airports. Thank you. That's all I can say. Thank you for sparing me.
Grant, do you have a hookup that we don't know about? That air traffic control, that you made this happen? That's the kind of power that Napier has on the East Coast.
That's right. Absolutely. You know, I do what I can do, you know? Anyway, so how are you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's really good. We are, what now, about 11 days away from first preseason action, the Jets and the Jacksonville Jaguars. And that's four Jet games in the preseason and a national game, Tampa Bay and Cleveland, week three of the preseason.
And I assume that you are with Dan Fouts again. You guys have done such a phenomenal job. No, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. That's what I say.
I think that's the philosophy right now. Yep, the bird and the beard.
Yes.
Another year. So really excited about that. Dan has been one of the best partners I've ever had, and we have just a really close relationship on and off the air. And it's going to be our seventh year together. I probably should add these up. Or it's been so good you don't even count.
That's right.
At this point, Grant.
It's all good. You know, I was in at the Celebrity Golf Tournament in Lake Tahoe just 2 weeks ago, and Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing in that. And, you know, I got to tell you, he was so polite and just the best. You know, just the great, the best. And obviously he wasn't doing any interviews because he was still in the situation dealing with the Jets. Ian, when you look back, though, at everything, there was no way that the Jets were going to go without Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? I mean, they could not risk going with Geno Smith as the number one. It was a no-brainer, wasn't it?
It was a no-brainer. I think some discord developed just based on the initial conversations. The reality here, Grant, sometimes both sides are right. That does happen in these situations. And in this particular setup, I think both sides were right. The Jets didn't want to negotiate against themselves. There was nobody else bidding for Ryan's services. There are plenty of teams that would have loved to have a Ryan Fitzpatrick on their squad at $3.5-4 million, a backup quarterback rate in this league, an experienced backup quarterback rate. The Jets looked at their salary structure. They looked at their future cap. They looked at their roster and determined that Ryan Fitzpatrick for one more year would be worth $12 million. Now, I think his agent and Ryan, who's a very smart guy, thought they might be able to get a bit more, at least guarantees on a second year that would have been worth their while. Instead, Fitzpatrick took $12 million for the one year. He's going to bet on himself. And if he has the kind of season that he had a year ago, guess what? They're going to figure out a way to do it for another year, or he'll have proven himself to go play for another team. But at this stage of the game, considering what he brought to the table last year when Geno Smith got punched in the face by a defensive teammate, Ike Anunoby, who then got cut and picked up by the Buffalo Bills, Fitzpatrick brought stability. He brought leadership. He made connections in that locker room that had not been made before at that position in a long time. Since Chad Pennington, I would tell you that the quarterback spot had not been manned by someone that had complete respect amongst his teammates. So the Jets knew they had to re-sign him. Fitzpatrick ultimately knew he had no leverage. And that's why they worked on the one-year deal, and that's why it got done right before camp opened.
Ian Eagle, CBS Sports, joining us here on the Grant Napier Show. Ian, for the first time in really 15 years, there's genuine excitement out here in Northern California over the prospects of the Raiders. Give me your thoughts. You had a chance to do them a couple times. You've watched them go from the ashes up to now, where I think people look at the Raiders and they use the term respect, which I think is so important. How do you see this team right now?
I see a roster that is stacked with a lot of ability, and it hasn't just come out of nowhere. We've seen it develop now over the last couple of years. I'm really impressed with Carr. I've been impressed with him from day one. I met him in his fourth game as a pro when they went out to London and got smacked by Miami in his rookie season. Coaching change was made. Things have changed since then, as we know. I thought Jack Del Rio brought a real edge to the team that they needed, and not fake tough guy stuff. Real. Someone that lived it. Someone that has done it at every level, whether it be as a player, whether it be as an assistant coach, and as a head coach, for that matter, during some stretches in Jacksonville. I think Derek Carr is one of those guys that if you surround him with the right pieces, he's going to be an excellent pro for a long time. I'm not saying superstar status. I don't think we have to say that. But now, this is a franchise that went 11-37 over a three-year period, and last year you saw the makings of something. Stability in the front office, which had to happen. The fact that Reggie McKenzie got that extension shows you that they believe in what he's doing. Key additions, offensive line, I believe will be better. Some veterans at the linebacker position, which is something they had to address. Safety spot, adding playmakers. I like the squad. I think they're capable of winning that division. I know that's scary to say, and you don't like to throw those things out this early in the game. But when I look up and down their roster, I see what could be the most talented roster in the AFC West. Now, we have to see what happens with Denver at the QB position. Let's see how Kansas City handles its business after a surprise season last year. And San Diego, I'm not sure what to make of right now. They're behind personnel-wise, if you're going to compare them to the other three teams in the division.
Do you look at the Denver Broncos right now kind of like we saw Baltimore when they were able to win a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer, and we used the term he managed the game, he didn't make the mistakes and let the defense win. Do you think that that could be a similar scenario in Denver? Because let's face it, Mark Sanchez still has to prove that he can play a full year and win. Say what you want about the Jets when he went to the championship. They did that on defense, you know. So is this the same deal here in Denver?
Yeah, I think it's a fair comparison. I think defensively, when you look back on what they did last year, they led the way. They got enough offensively when they had to. But I had them enough times last season to see that their running game had still not been consistent. It's almost a shock when I look back on the year and I examine some of my notes that preceded the Bronco games that I did. There was turmoil there. There was turmoil with Peyton Manning. There was a belief within that locker room that Osweiler could be the guy, and there were young players and some veterans that felt that Osweiler was the right move. They end up going back to Manning, and he was savvy and handled what he needed to handle. He didn't do it in Manning-like fashion from earlier in his career. He just didn't make big mistakes. The running game was at least solidified enough that they kept you honest. But, boy, I tell you, there were stretches during the season when I've had their games in 2015 that I thought the thing was going to implode. They were on the brink a couple of times. Gary Kubiak, who did a masterful job this past season in leading them to a Super Bowl and validating everything that John Elway believed about his franchise. But having talked to Gary many times through the years when he was with the Texans, I had never seen him the way that he was this past year in terms of the stress level, the expectations, and then trying to massage what was becoming a very difficult situation at the quarterback spot. So then for all of that to happen, and for a guy they believed in Osweiler to leave because, A, the money was incredible, and, B, I still believe that Brock feels like he got a raw deal. I know it's hard to imagine that, considering that he has a Super Bowl ring and he'll have that for the rest of his life. But I'm telling you, in my sense of the situation, he was not happy with how things played out. And the fact that there was another suitor that believed in him and made him feel good about it, I think his mindset was, I gotta turn the page. I gotta start a new chapter in my life.
Ian Eagle, CBS Sports. When you get your assignments at the beginning of the year, do you already know your first three or four games? How far in advance do you know your games?
Yeah, they gave us our first four games.
Gotcha. And September 11th, do you know who you have? Or, you know, with you getting older, I don't know if you can remember your, your games, you know?
Oh, my God. Who am I talking to again? I've got Miami at Seattle.
Okay, Miami at Seattle. Well, I can say this. You've come a long way from your 2020 sports updates on The Fan at 2 a.m.
That you were listening to, by the way.
I was in
New York.
You know what? Thank you very much. That says a lot about me. Are you doing the Thursday night package on Westwood One?
Yeah.
Great.
I'll be back on radio as well. I believe Tim Ryan's going to be a part of
awesome.
It. And Tony Baselli.
Awesome. Well, that's great. We carry the Thursday night package here, and so we love listening to you. We're huge fans of Tim Ryan. We just think he does a great job. And, you know, you got to get him off the golf course and out of the gym to make sure he can show up for the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a shame that that the actual job gets in the way of his life.
Absolutely.
Right. He's got a lot of good stuff. He's a great guy. I really enjoyed working with him last year. Baselli also equally a terrific guy. That's been the best part. And, Grant, I know for you through the years, different partners, different people.
Sure.
That part of it I really enjoy. I just enjoy the chemistry that develops. And there's a trust level. You and Jerry have been doing it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you could finish each other's sentences. I know that. But there's still a trust level when you go on the air that you can't really simulate when that red light goes on. And that's a big...
Well said.
Big part of my passion for this is getting to know people and getting to develop something special through the years.
And, of course, Ian Eagle also does the Nets game. The NBA schedule should be coming out in about 7 or 10 days. And when it does, I'll make sure I rush to the online ticket window for that big tilt this winter when the Sacramento Kings come in to take on the Brooklyn Nets, because I know it will be standing room only at the Barclays.
Hey, look. They're going to sell some tickets because Jeremy Lin. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, you know what? You're right. Yep.
Whether or not that sustains itself over 41 home dates, I will say this.
I like Jeremy Lin. I think he's underrated.
He is underrated, and they actually got him at a pretty good bargain considering the numbers that have been thrown around. I will say this. The fact that they have cleaned the slate and they're doing it with a true purpose in mind now and not just haphazardly going out and trying to throw money at people and trying to develop some kind of contrived interest in the team. They're doing it very systematically, and they're doing it with people that they believe are smart and can have an actual plan in place. So I'm looking forward to see if this thing can develop. It might be a rough year to start, but I do think they are heading in the right direction, and that's in trying to do it right and build the proper culture for a change.
Ian, it's always great catching up with you. We look forward to chatting with you during the football season and, of course, seeing you in person during hoops. Be well and have a fabulous year with Dan Fouts.
Grant, always great talking to you, and really looking forward to the season as well. It's about that time.
Yep.
You could feel it.
Yes, you can. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate
bye
it very bye. Much.
See you,
take
man.
Care. Yep. Ian Eagle, great stuff right there from CBS Sports. You know, we talk about baseball as I'm going all around, but Yasiel Puig did not travel with the Dodgers as they're starting a three-game set tomorrow in Colorado. He stormed off, according to the report by Ken Rosenthal and others, after being informed that he was going to be traded or sent to the minors. All right, now we know that Puig was not traded before the 1 p.m. Pacific trade deadline. We also know that the Dodgers acquired Josh Reddick, an outfielder from the A's, okay? And people were wanting to know, well, gee, what does that mean for Puig? Well, Dodger front office execs had said that, you know, as far as Yasiel Puig was concerned, they would only trade him if they added an outfielder, but they couldn't trade Puig. Nobody wanted him, all right? Nobody, well, apparently nobody wanted him. So stay tuned for that. I've said this ever since I've been doing my radio show, okay? I'm on my 21st year. You will never win in professional sports with players like Yasiel Puig, okay? You will never win with players that break down the fabric of your locker room, all right? It's never going to happen. It doesn't happen. And Yasiel Puig is a cancer to the L.A. Dodgers organization, period. All you got to do is talk to anyone that is down there affiliated with that organization. Puig is not conducive to winning. Puig's teammates don't want him around. If the Dodgers seriously want to win and catch the Giants, their best chance is to make sure that Puig doesn't enter the Dodger clubhouse. That's the best way for the San Francisco Giants and the Dodgers to have a real true race. You're never winning with Yasiel Puig, okay? Yasiel Puig is not conducive to winning. He's not conducive to a team environment. You will not win. I don't care what sport you're talking about. You will not win with that type of character, that type of a athlete in your locker room or your clubhouse. Doesn't happen. Plain and simple, doesn't happen, won't happen, and good for the Dodgers, all right? Good for the Dodgers, all right, to leave him behind. What a joke. What an absolute joke. We're talking about a 25-year-old stud who could have the Major League Baseball in the palm of his hands and be this and be that, but Yasiel Puig doesn't get it. And every year we go through the same thing. Don Mattingly, when he was managing the Dodgers, having to pull the guy off the field in the middle of an inning for crying out loud. Are you kidding me or what? You're not winning squat with Yasiel Puig, period. The Dodgers would be better off if they just cut Yasiel Puig and got nothing back in return. Because for the other 24 players in the locker room, in the clubhouse, it would be a breath of fresh air. The Dodgers would have a chance of having a really good final 2 months of the season if Puig were not around. I'll take Josh Reddick any freaking day of the week over Yasiel Puig. I will tell you this. I guarantee you that the players in the Dodgers clubhouse are rejoicing right now over the fact that they've got a professional and a team consummated guy in Josh Reddick. That is not Puig. The longer that Puig is away from the Dodgers, the bigger threat they are to the San Francisco Giants. The guy is a disgrace, an absolute disgrace. Awful. I mean, it's just terrible. And good for the Dodgers. Good for the Dodgers. Send them down to the minors. Let them get a dose of reality. That'd be beautiful. Where is their AAA? In Albuquerque? That would be beautiful. Send him down to AAA. Maybe he'll learn something. Maybe he'll learn what it's like to be a professional. Maybe he'll learn how to be a team guy. Maybe he'll learn how to not destroy the locker room. maybe he'll learn what's most important. Giants fans, here's your biggest worry right now. Your biggest worry is that the Dodgers, all right, take Yasiel Puig off their roster. That's your biggest concern. Because if they take Puig out of that clubhouse, you just watch. It's going to be like a breath of fresh air for the L.A. Dodgers. And they will play much better baseball. I absolutely, positively will guarantee that here on August 1st. Reddick for the Dodgers is a much, much better scenario than having Puig anywhere near that team. The guy is poison. Poison. Unbelievable. Some things never change. Unbelievable to me. Really is. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Great move by the Dodgers. You get a consummate professional, a really good player in Josh Reddick, and you lose a head case and a cancer in Yasiel Puig. Now, they haven't lost him completely. He's still on the roster. But I'm just telling you right now, this is a great move today for the Dodgers. I'm not saying they're going to win the division, but they're going to have a much better chance without Puig. Incredible. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We're going to be with you right up until 7 o'clock. If you're just joining us, we just had Ian Eagle on from CBS. In the 6 o'clock hour, it's 6:18. We're going to talk with Chris Burke, NFL reporter for Sports Illustrated. Raiders, Niners, hard at work. We have a preseason football game for you in Canton, Ohio this weekend. So it's here. We are talking football. How do you like that? Good stuff. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. The Grant Napier Show in Sports 1140 KHDK. We got a lot of things going on with the trade deadline coming and going at 1 o'clock. We've talked a lot about the moves by the Giants, the A's. We got NFL. You just heard from Chip Kelly on our sports update. What do you think? Kaepernick? Gabbert? Who's going to be your starting quarterback? And again, not to be super negative on this, does it even matter? Like, you know, even with, regardless of whether it's Gabbert or Kaepernick, what's the ceiling, you know, for this team? How many games are we talking about? And, I mean, it's a quarterback-driven league. We get that. But I don't see the talent on this football team to be anywhere near where Niner fans are going to get excited. I just don't. I do not see it. Hey, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I'm going to be with you right up till 7 o'clock. We talked some baseball with Chris Swick from Yahoo in the first hour. We had Ian Eagle on at 4 o'clock. Coming up at 6:18, we're going to talk some more NFL football with Chris Burke from Sports Illustrated. All right, let's get to Mike. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm disappointed, Grant. Once again, my 14-year-old son plays tournament baseball. We love the A's. He texts me today while I'm at work. And he goes, Dad, the Dodgers got Josh Reddick and that the Hill player.
Yeah, Rich Hill. Yep.
And I go, yeah, and we just kind of laughed, and I said, son, A's are never going to win again, son. You can't win championships with prospects. You know, that money, Grant, I know I appreciate your knowledge about sports. Tell me Moneyball is dead. Come on, man. It's so old, and you can't tell me these old A's fans. You don't have an A's jersey. Grant has pins up and down both sides. I walk out to the stadium since I'm wearing that, and all these old people saying, that's a nice shirt, son. I feel sorry for those guys because, you know, the Wolves should get rid of that team. They don't deserve to have that team.
Yeah, it's tough. I can't even imagine how painful it must be being an Oakland A's fan and having to go through this. You know, now, in all fairness, you know, the year before last year, we were talking about their third consecutive division championship, but they couldn't get past Justin Verlander. What are you laughing about? It's true.
Because they got rid of Cespedes and Donaldson all before that. The All-Star break, and then after that, man, they crashed bigger than a 747 Boeing jet. Oh, my God. I agree with you. Yes, they were headed, but and then they traded before the All-Star game, and they just died after that. So it's just sad. What did they get, like 10 prospects for those two guys, Redick and Hill?
No, they didn't get 10 prospects. They got, you know, three players. And again, you know, you never know how certain players are going to do. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan, and everyone says they picked up eight top prospects in baseball. Well, you know, that's fine and dandy, but they're prospects. That doesn't mean that when they get into the big leagues, you know, they're going to materialize. Some do, some don't. You just never know. It's like I always talk about, you know, in basketball with the draft, people that try to analyze the draft the day after it happens. You can't do it. Yeah. You need to wait and see how these guys do.
I was listening to you tell all those people that. Just wait till the season starts,
yeah.
The preseason starts, and see what the organization actually does with those picks.
Yep.
They didn't just pick those picks to play on the team. They picked them for a reason.
Yep. Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Let's get to Jay in Elk Grove. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Grant. How you doing?
Good. What's happening?
Hey, first I want to say thank you. I was able to call in on Mother's Day and was able to pick up some strawberries for my wife. So I
oh, great.
To say thank you to you and your
Thank
studio.
You. Appreciate it. I'm glad that you were able to do that. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, I'm an Indians fan, and I'm a little confused on this Luke Roy deal. So
sure.
I understand he went to the Rangers.
Yes.
But I was kind of odd that they went through all this issues with the Indians, you know, and they had kind of players in place and everything, and basically that he already had Cleveland on a no-trade clause. So
he did, but he could have waived that. The reason why he didn't go to Cleveland is because he did not want to exercise his option. There's no way the Cleveland Indians were going to give up what the Brewers were asking without a guarantee that he would be staying through next year, and he would not agree to that, and so he vetoed the trade.
Okay, so he could waive it if he wanted to.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Indians would. There's the only way the Indians were going to take Jonathan Lucroy is if they knew that he was going to be with them through next season.
Right. Also, too, I kind of thought it's hard to change catchers. I mean, they're, you know, they're pretty set with the pitchers, and, you know, I think it would be a pretty big switch.
You know what? I think Lucroy has got such a great reputation with staffs and what he does offensively. I don't believe it would have been, you know, that big of an issue. I really don't. I don't think that was the reason. I mean, I think he would have fit in very well there. I mean, what is he, a two-time All-Star?
Right,
I mean,
right.
he's bats for average. You know, he's got nice pop in his bat. He's got great slugging percentage. You know, he's now the number one catcher in Texas. So
yeah.
He's going to really help out that ball club.
Okay. Well, appreciate it, Grant. Thanks for
right.
your time.
Hey, thank you. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I mean, when you look at the Rangers, I mean, they add so much pop. You know, I just went over Lucroy's numbers. You know, Carlos Beltran. You know, he's got, what, 20, 21 home runs this year already, 22, 65 RBIs. He's got a slugging percentage of .550. Bats, you know, he's as good from both sides of the plate as a switch hitter. You know, he's basically a rental player. He's in the final year of a three-year contract. You know, you can DH him. You know, he's 39. So, you know, to me, this is a team now that is loaded. However, I still like what the Indians did. You know, I think to me, if you can go out and get Andrew Miller, you've got as good of a closer as there is in baseball. I personally would take Andrew Miller over Chapman. I'd rather have Andrew Miller than Aroldis Chapman. Now, I'd be okay with, you know, if you told me I can't have Miller and I can have Chapman, I'd be fine with that. But I think the Indians got themselves, you know, a guy that's nails, absolute nails, coming out of the bullpen. Now, will they get to – would it be something – I know if you're a Giants fan, you don't say this, but it would be incredible to see Cleveland in the Cubs. I mean, I can't even imagine a Cubs-Indians World Series, what it would be like in those two cities. And wouldn't it be just mind-boggling if Cleveland, after decades of futility in all of their professional sports, were able to win two championships in the same year? I mean, are you kidding me? Like, what would be the chances of that? I mean, that's just, I guess because, you know, we follow sports and we always, I guess, become accustomed to expecting the unexpected. What do you think the odds would have been if you could have gotten odds that the Cleveland Indians and the Cleveland Cavaliers would win world championships in the same year? What do you think the odds on that would have been before the start of this year? Oh, my goodness. That's frightening to even think. Bad news for local product Stevie Johnson, the Chargers wide receiver, a torn meniscus. He's going to have surgery, and they don't know yet whether he's going to have surgery, excuse me, whether or not it's going to cost him the year. That's coming from Michael Silver, Mike Silver from the NFL Network, all right? He's going to get a second opinion. His father, Stevie, always listens to the show, 31 years old. You know, he was a guy that the Chargers were really looking forward to having and counting on, and now he may, and I underline may, his season may be in jeopardy. That's really bad news for Philip Rivers and the San Diego Chargers. But again, he's going to get a second opinion. I mean, last year he was fourth on the team in receptions. They had him looking at starting in the slot alongside Keenan Allen. They also, you know, looked at a free agent pickup in Travis Benjamin. We know about Antonio Gates. Danny Woodhead, so good catching a ball out of the backfield. We really feel bad for Stevie Johnson. All right, we'll take the timeout. We'll come right back. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK. Back with you here on the Grant Napier Show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's check in with Jay. Hello, Jay. How are you?
Hey, Grant. Good. Thanks for taking my call. Huge Dodger fan here. Been a Dodger fan since I was a little kid. I like what the Dodgers did by picking up Reddick and Hill.
Yep.
I don't disagree with you. I think it's going to come down to whatever team stays healthier. In terms of, well, you actually, I think, made the comment that you thought that the Giants would win the division. I actually think that if the Dodgers get healthy and get Kershaw back, I think if you look at their depth, not only in the starting pitch, I mean, they've led the league right now in player days on the DL. They've got like four starting pitchers on the DL, of which like two or three are coming back. They're really deep, and they're starting to play well right now.
Well, I'll tell you, if they keep Puig away from the team, they may very well win the division. I think he's a cancer. I think that this is a great opportunity for the Dodgers to do something with Puig. He cannot be around the team.
Hey, funny you should say that. I just heard on the radio, I was listening to ESPN LA. He actually, Dodgers just left for a trip,
yep.
I think, to Colorado.
And he stormed out of the facility, and they didn't even take him to Colorado.
Yeah, I think he's done. And unfortunately, by this happening, you know, his trade value is not very high anyway.
No.
But they'll probably give him away for nothing, or they're going to send him down to the minor leagues. But I think whoever stays healthy, if the Dodgers can get Kershaw back, they'll be right there for the division. The problem with the Dodgers, as we all know, is they get into the playoffs and they choke. And I'm the first to admit that. So I'm hoping that at some point that changes. But they're very deep. They've got one of the top three or four minor league systems in baseball right now. So they could still make some moves that a lot of other teams, including the Giants, cannot make, because the Giants don't have a very deep farm system. So I like what the Dodgers are doing. Look, until they win a World Series, though, we're all going to be talking about 1988 and Kirk Gibson's home run. So hopefully that'll change at some point. We'll see.
All right, Jay, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
You got it. Bye-bye.
I guess, you know, to follow up on what Jay just said, as a fan, you know, if you're a fan of the Giants, do you feel that the Dodgers strengthen themselves enough where you could see them winning the division now, even without Clayton Kershaw? And again, we don't know about Kershaw, so I can only go by what we know right now. And I still think the Giants are a better team. But I think if the Dodgers can rid themselves of Yasiel Puig, I think it's going to make that entire team better. when you have that type of a destructive force in your clubhouse that brings down everybody around him, you're not going to win. You know, you're going to have too many rocky roads. You're going to have too many bumps. You're going to have too many instances where things go well and then they fall apart and you got to deal with it. And at some point, you just got to move on. And I think the Dodgers may be at that point right now. I think they may be at that point. But I'll take Josh Reddick over Yasiel Puig any day of the week. I mean, like, that's not even a discussion we have to have. Josh Reddick will make the L.A. Dodgers a better team. Rich Hill will make the Dodgers a better team. Now, are they better than the Giants? I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm not ready to go there. But I think the Dodgers inched closer to the Giants today. Let me put it to you that way. You know, but to me, as long as Hunter Pence is on the field, he just does something for that ball club. He just does something. I mean, when you think about what impact Hunter Pence has had on the Giants since coming over from Philadelphia, I mean, you could make the argument that he's the most valuable player on the team. Not best player. Okay, I didn't say best player. Valuable. All right? He could be the most valuable player other than Madison Bumgarner. Because I think when you look at what Bumgarner did in the World Series and in the playoffs and everything else, I mean, you know, he'd have to be number one. And Buster Posey's great, and we know all of that. But I'm talking about in terms of valuable. It just seems to me when Hunter Pence is in the lineup, the Giants win. All right? When he's not in the lineup, they lose. To me, he is the guy that makes the Giants go. And I thought Josh Reddick and Coco Crisp, pretty much the same thing for the Oakland A's. I mean, when Reddick is going well, the team normally feeds off of that. So I'm thinking that the Dodgers got better today. I think the Giants became better. But I think if you can get Yasiel Puig out of the clubhouse, that to me is the way to go. Then you become I just think the Dodgers, gosh, they will be popping bottles of champagne. Period. All right. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And again, I wonder, you know, how the Dodgers are going to handle this. I wonder how the Dodgers are going to handle this. What do they do now? What on earth are they going to do now? Can they let Puig back? Do they put Yasiel Puig back on this roster? And if so, you can't put him out there instead of Reddick, can you? I mean, I don't think so. So how do you handle this if you're the Dodgers? I guess, you know, again, according to reports, he stormed out of the facility after receiving news of potential trades, which did not happen, or a demotion. And again, he's not with the team currently in Colorado. And I don't think you're going to get a lot for Puig. First of all, I wouldn't take Puig if you just gave him to me for free. You know, if I'm a team in Major League Baseball, I'm not taking Puig. I'm not taking him if you give him to me and pay me. I'm not taking him. You're not winning with Yasiel Puig. So I wonder what the Dodgers do here. Be very interesting to see how they're going to handle this. Giants, though, Pence back. They start a series in Philadelphia. Then they go to Washington. And I think we're already looking ahead to the weekend, are we not? We want to see the Giants and the Nationals. That was a lot of fun this weekend. Four games. Yeah, I give the Giants a lot of credit for the way they were able to bounce back and win games 3 and 4. I mean, can you imagine what the narrative would be as they head out on the road if they had lost another series? Give them a lot of credit after losing Thursday and Friday to come back and win the way they did. All right, 2 hours in the books. We are at the halfway point. We've got 2 hours left, so don't go anywhere. We're going to come right back. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK.